If I were to ask you what book of the Bible exalts God more than any other book, I wonder what you'd say. Well, some have said, when I've asked that question before, the Psalms. And maybe you're right, because I think there probably are more voices of praise and worship in the Psalms than any other book. But I think perhaps the book of Genesis exalts God as does no other book. If I were to come to you and say, what book exalts in the New Testament? What book exalts the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps more than any other book. I wonder what you'd say. I say the book of Hebrews. I'm preaching from that book this morning. Many of you who've been here in my ministry in the past know that I love that book. In fact, I preached from this text probably about 4 years ago, but I've been meditating on it again recently. And I'm going to speak from a text from which I spoke several years ago. The book of Hebrews exalts Jesus Christ and presents Him as God's final word to man. So it begins with the words, God, who at many, many different times and in various ways spoke to the fathers, that's the fathers, the Hebrews, the people of Israel, in time past by the fathers, has in these last days, and by the way, these are the last days of God's dealing with this world. There aren't any more ages to come. This is it. When the Lord Jesus comes back again, He's going to come to rule and to reign and to take charge in this world. There aren't any more ages. You can go back and you can talk about the age of innocence during the time of Abraham. You can talk about the age of conscience and human government. You talk about the law and the age of the law in the Old Testament. We say that we're living in the age of grace from the first coming of Christ to His second, but there aren't any more to come. This is it. Has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. God's final, complete, and perfect revelation to this world is in the person and work of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ is held up beside everything else the people of Israel have known. This book is addressed to the Hebrews, of course, originally. And everything else fades into insignificance. Chapter 1, chapter 2, he's compared to angels. Says God never said to an angel at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, but he said that to Jesus. Never said to an angel, Thy throne, O God, is exalted above all. Never said that to an angel, but he said it to Jesus. So we're warned in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, If the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and I believe that's talking about the Old Testament law, everyone who violated it received just retribution. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, compared to angels? Then chapter 3 begins to compare Him with the great lawgiver of the Old Testament, the one most respected by the people of Israel, the great lawgiver Moses. He's held up beside the Lord Jesus, and as it were, He fades into insignificance in the light of the revelation of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and the great work of our Lord. Chapter 5, 4 and 5, come to the Old Testament priesthood. And the great priesthood is held up beside the Lord Jesus, and He's shown to be the great high priest, God's last revelation, our great high priest before God. As I come to chapter 7, I see the continuation of the priesthood compared with Jesus. And I read about Melchizedek and how the Lord is, how he was a type of our Lord having no beginning of days and end of life. Our Lord, who was not after the Aaronic priesthood, is presented as an eternal priest. I see the priesthood spoken of in chapter 7, and then I come to verse 24. Well, verse 23 says, speaking about the priests, they truly were many priests because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. These high priests of the Old Testament, one after another, they died. But underscore these words in verse 24, but this man, but Jesus, because he has an unchangeable priesthood, continueth forever, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's our high priest. Come over to chapter 9. It's talking about the tabernacle in chapter 9. And it speaks of how the Lord Jesus didn't enter into an earthly tabernacle, but he entered into the heavenly tabernacle. And those Old Testament priests entered into that tabernacle day after day after day, offering the sacrifices. Here's another phrase you can underline, verse 11. Back in chapter 7, it was but this man. In chapter 9, it is but Christ. But Christ, verse 11, being a high priest of good things to come. Look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's the finished work of Christ. But Christ. Over in chapter 10. Chapter 10 is talking about the sacrifices. The sacrifices of the Old Testament priests. The Old Testament law required those sacrifices. And it says in, but it says in verse 12, but this man, you see, there was but this man in verse 7, or chapter 7. There was but Christ in chapter 9. And here in verse 12 of chapter 10, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of the throne on high. Over and over, Christ is contrasted, and everything else fades into insignificance. If I had to select a passage of Scripture which I think sums up the message of the book of Hebrews, it would be my text for this morning, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. I've entitled the message, Three Appearances of Christ. Let me read these words to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. See, he didn't go into that Old Testament tabernacle. It was only temporary. But now into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the ages, or literally the consummation of the ages, these last days, as he said in chapter 1, this is the summation of the ages in this world. There aren't going to be any more. When Jesus comes, that's going to be it. But now once in the consummation of the ages has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In this text is three appearances of Jesus. We talk many times about two appearances of Christ, and that's right. We talk about his first coming and all that that involved. We talk about how we're looking for his second coming, the first and second coming of Christ, and that's correct. But here it talks about three appearances of the Lord Jesus. And I want to center the message around those three appearances. They are found in these verses. One appearance is in the past, one is in the present, and one is in the future. Now, they're not presented in this passage in that order. They're not in chronological order in this passage. In fact, they begin with the present. In verse 24, it's like our communion service. You know, our communion service has three parts. Speaks of the finished work of Christ on the cross, shed blood, his broken body. We have the foot washing service that speaks of his high priestly ministry in heaven now, his cleansing of our daily walk on our behalf. And we have the love feast, which looks forward to the time when he's going to come again and we're going to be eternally with him, and he's going to minister to us as a bridegroom ministers to his bride. But that's not in chronological order either. We begin with the cleansing, the present ministry of Christ. The foot washing service. That's the way it's presented here. Verse 24, look at it. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but now into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Let me ask you, what's Jesus doing in heaven today? He went back to heaven nearly 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. What's he doing? He's doing basically two things. First of all, John chapter 1, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For 2,000 years, he's been preparing a place for the redeemed. Been preparing heaven for us. I know this isn't a proper comparison, and you can't make this kind of analogy, but I've often liked to think, You know, the Bible says that our Lord created this world in 6 days. And yes, I believe it happened just like Genesis said. I believe it was in 6 24-hour days that God created this world, the universe, and all that's in it. And I've often thought, if it took our Lord 6 days to create all this universe, I wonder what a place is like that He's been preparing and creating for 2,000 years. You can't make that kind of comparison. The Bible doesn't make that kind of comparison, but I like to think about it. First of all, Jesus has been preparing a place for us. But the second thing that He's been doing there in heaven, the Bible says that He is there as our great high priest. You know, there were two offices in the Old Testament. Well, there was the king, but there was also the prophet and the priest. The prophet was God's spokesman on behalf of God to the people. The priest was God's representative on behalf of the people to God. The prophet spoke to the people on behalf of God, and the priest spoke to God on behalf of the people. And our Lord is our great high priest there to speak for us in heaven. He is our intercessor. He is at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest. The theologians speak of the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus. That's what He's doing in heaven today. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only mediator God ever provided. And when I come to God, I don't come through saints, I don't come through the Virgin Mary, I come through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only priest God ever provided on my behalf. Thank God He's there. And that's what He's doing. John speaks of this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not." He's talking to Christians. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior. Those of us who are called children of God. We've been born into God's family. He said, "My little children, don't sin." And child of God, that is always our standard. The moment you begin to make allowance for sin, you're going to sin. Don't sin. But we're still in the flesh, aren't we? And every one of us know that we do all too often. So our heart cries out, "Yeah, but what if I do? What if I do? My little children, these things write I unto you that you don't sin. But what if I do?" So it says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's the propitiation, the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank God I've got one there to plead my case, my high priest, the Lord Jesus. When I come and say, "Lord," to put it in our language, "I blew it again. I blew it again. I failed you again." The Bible says we've got a great high priest at the right hand of the Father. Writer of the book of Hebrews talks about that in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Listen to what he says. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He became a man and He knew every temptation that I face and that you face. And He understands. We don't have one up there that doesn't understand. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. "Let us therefore come boldly," the King James says. It literally means with confidence. Not having to be afraid. "Let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Aren't you glad that we have that kind of priest? That's what Jesus is doing today. Christ is appearing in heaven today at the right hand of the Father, day and night, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Thank God, because He's God, He never slumbers and He never sleeps, just like the psalmist says. And He's there to intercede for you and me. And He's all I need and He's all that you need. That's His present appearance. Second appearance is in verse 25 through 28. It says, "Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others." Now, it's referring to that time when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies one time a year with the blood of animals, which he offered on the mercy seat as a sacrifice for himself and for the sins of others. And that was a symbol of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was going to pay the price of our sin. But Jesus, it says, didn't have to go there often. But now once, in the consummation of the ages, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The second appearance was that appearance at Calvary. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Thank God, dear people, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he appeared for our sin, and the word appeared here literally means to be completely manifested. Do you want to see what Jesus was like? You want to see what God's like? Look at the cross. It was the cross, at the cross, where Jesus Christ was manifested for who he really is. And he died for me. He died to pay the price of my sin. And he looked at those who were crucifying him and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Somebody said, if Jesus were not God, it would have taken a God to do what Jesus did. That's right. He appeared on Calvary for my sin and for your sin. And notice the sufficiency and the finality of the sacrifice. If you mark your Bible, you can mark this word, these words too. Look in verse 26. It says, now once in the consummation of the ages. Circle that word once. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Down verse 28, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And it's contrasted with the word often in verses 25 and 26. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. You can circle that word. As the high priest entered into the holy place. For then, verse 26, for then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. That's contrasted. Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever and paid the price of our sin once and for all. That's clearly pointed out in the next chapter, chapter 10, one of the great passages in this book. It says in verse 11, let me read verses 11 through 14. Every priest standeth ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. There's that word often again. But this man, there's the contrast, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. One sacrifice forever for all sin. No more offering for sin ever, once and for all. I will not speak of individuals. I do not do that. But I will not sidestep doctrinal error when I come to it. One of the great doctrinal errors of the Roman Catholic Church is the offering of the Mass. The sacrifice all over again of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, over and over and over and over again. The Bible teaches that by His one sacrifice, forever, He paid the price of your sin and mine, past, present, and future. Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me, as he gave them the bread and the cup. You say, well, what about the Bible says, he said, take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood. Jesus was using symbolic speech. I've done this before, I don't have it here today, but I hold up a picture of my granddaughter, Kristen, my oldest granddaughter. And I, without any kind of prelude, I simply say, look, here's my granddaughter, isn't she beautiful? No, that's not my granddaughter. It's only a picture. But every one of you would know what I meant. This is my granddaughter. It's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible teaches, dear friend, that your sins and mine were once and for all paid for. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart as His. Let me tell you, friend, are you here today without Christ? Are you here today not knowing that if you died, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell? I want to tell you, friend, that Jesus, when He died on the cross, paid the price of every one of your sins. I don't care how vile they may be. And I can say that to people whose lives I know nothing about. My favorite gospel song is, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He had left, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Dear friend, I've got good news for you. Your sins have already been paid for. And God simply waits for you to open your heart by faith to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. Surrender your life to Him as your Lord. Trust Him as the one who died for you. Jesus said to you, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you can experience the forgiveness of your sin and a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ simply by opening your heart to Him in faith. I don't want to take anything for granted here this morning. Yesterday morning in our men's prayer meeting, one of the men who was present, a young man who was present, said he was talking to a man 41 years old this week and telling him about Jesus and how he could have a personal relationship to Christ and he could experience the forgiveness of his sin and experience a new life in Christ. That man, 41 years old, said, I never heard that before. All I ever heard was you ought to get saved and join the church. Well, now that's all right and good, but he said that's all I knew. He never knew how to receive Jesus Christ by faith and trust Him alone as his personal Savior and rest on the finished work of Christ. And friend, today, that's all you need. Jesus Christ is the one you need. It says that He has appeared in the consummation of the ages to put away the sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And by one sacrifice He hath perfected. That means He's finished the job. The word perfect there doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect. It means the work that He did was complete. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus appeared for you on Calvary. Have you received Him? I didn't ask if you had intellectual knowledge of Him. If you've known Him, known about Him all your life. I knew about Him ever since I was a kid in Sunday school. But have you received Him? And have you surrendered your life to Him as your Lord? You can experience a personal, vital relationship to Jesus Christ as you receive Him as your Savior and trust Him as the one who died for you. Christ appeared at Calvary on your behalf and mine. Now once, in the consummation of the ages, has He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. When He came the first time, He dealt with sin. He put it away. He put it as far as the east is from the west. He buried it in the depths of the deepest sea. He paid the complete and full price for your sin and put it away once and for all. And He simply waits for you to come to Him and receive Him as your Savior. But there's a third appearance spoken about here. It's in the last part of the last verse. It says, unto them that look for Him shall He appear. There's the third word. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The first word, appear, is in verse 24, and it speaks of what our Lord is doing for us in heaven today as the great high priest. He's appearing there for me, you. The second word is found in verse 26. Where it points back to Calvary and says He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The third one is in verse 28. But it's interesting. In the Greek New Testament, the last one is different from the other two. It's a different word. The first two words come basically from the word phaino, which means to shine or manifest, and it talks about the manifestation of Christ. But this time, the word changes. When it says, He shall appear, for them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Holy Spirit led the Bible writer to change the word. This word is the Greek word optimi. Optimi. Are you a Greek scholar? You know what it means? You studied Greek? If you think about it, you'll know what it means without studying Greek. Optimi. He shall appear. Optimi. Did you ever go to an optometrist? Did you ever go to an ophthalmologist? Why do you go to an optometrist? So he can help you to see. Thank God, one of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. He's going to appear. He's going to optimize, and we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. John talks about that. He says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every time The New Testament refers to the resurrection of Christ, the appearance of the Lord Jesus, after the resurrection of Christ. Every time it refers to that, it uses this word, they saw him, they saw him, we'll see him. God revealed that to Job. Job's probably the oldest book in the Bible. It may have been written even before Genesis. And he didn't have all the revelation that we do in the entire scriptures. But Job said in chapter 19, I think it's about verse 26, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. I shall see him. The Bible says that one of these days, he's going to appear. There's a gospel song that says, what if it were today? Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Do you know him? Would you be ready to meet him? Let me just summarize a little bit. Dear friend, I thank God that Jesus Christ appeared at Calvary, there to pay the price of your sin and mine. Manifest for who he was, God of very gods. He alone could pay the price of our sin. I thank God that today he appears in heaven for us, to intercede for us, because we're yet in the flesh. We need a high priest to intercede before a thrice holy God. He appears there on our behalf. And one of these days, he's going to appear to take us to be with him and to be like him forever. And all that's yours, friend, if you'll only receive him. If you're here this morning and you've never received by faith Jesus Christ as your Savior, he simply waits for you to open your heart to him. You say, well, I've always known about Jesus. You can have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ and go to hell. The Bible says as many as received him. You come to him and say, Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve your wrath. But I believe that Jesus died for me, and I want to receive him as my Savior, and I want to trust him, and I want to ask you to be my Savior. To him, Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's God's invitation to you. You can miss this church, you can miss my preaching, you can miss a whole lot of things, but you cannot miss Jesus Christ and get to heaven. Child of God, these verses sum up the message of the book of Hebrews, and they sum up Christ's work on our behalf. He who has provided a complete salvation. What more could you want? What more could you want? He wants your all. Have you failed him, child of God? Have you failed him? The devil will tell you to give up and quit. That's not of God. You've got a great high priest that stands ready to intercede for you, that you might be cleansed and forgiven and restored to a place of fellowship. Have you sinned against your husband or wife? Sinned against a brother or sister in Christ? Maybe something known only between you and God. The Bible teaches that he is your great high priest there to intercede for you. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he's all you need. Thank God there's not a person here this morning, but what can go from those doors, and this is biblical, not a person here this morning, but what can go from those doors knowing that he is right with God, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for that.